God bless you today, beloved, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Man, I love the Word of God. So powerful, so awesome. And as you stay in it, praise God, Jesus said, if you'll continue in my Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, most people that quote that take it out of context. What he was talking about is free from sin. Because the Jews responded and said, what do you mean? It'll make us free. We've never been in bondage to anybody. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whoever sins is in bondage to that sin. He's a bond servant to that sin. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, what he's saying in very plain English, he said, listen, if you'll continue in my word, you're going to be genuinely set free on the inside and on the outside. It won't just be an idea. It won't just be faith. It won't just be believing something you can't see. But you will see the true freedom. That's what he's teaching. And it irritated the Jews because they're like, we're already free. What do you mean it'll set us free? He said, I tell you the truth. If you're sinning, then you are not free. You are still a captive to what you're doing. If you weren't a captive, you wouldn't be doing it. If you really believe in God and love God and you're still doing things that are full of iniquity, that are sinful, then you are in bondage. You're not doing that because you love it. You're not doing that because you want to do it. If you do, then you're not born again. You do not have the Spirit of Christ in you. If you are like Romans chapter 7 and you're resisting the flesh and you don't want it and yet it's defeating you, it's because it's ruling over you. It's got you in captivity. That's what Jesus taught. It's not my idea. It's not my doctrine. It's not any church's doctrine. It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ, what he taught. If you'll continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from captivity to sin. Because whoever sins is a captive to sin. Go look that up. It's very specific and very clear. He's not talking about if you continue in my word, you'll be free to sin. He's not talking about you'll be free because you'll be in grace and then nothing matters anymore. No. He's saying if you'll continue to listen to what I'm saying, continue to meditate on what comes from me, what you hear me saying, it will deliver you from the captivity to sin. Amen. And when the Lord delivers you, friend, you're genuinely delivered. You are delivered indeed. I love that word indeed. It means not in thought, praise God. It means indeed. It means in actuality, praise God. We really see the victory. We really see the freedom. Now, whoo, man, I got to get in this word I want to share with you today. Galatians, one of the most powerful books in the Word of God. I need a series really to break this down. So I pray the Holy Ghost today in Jesus' name will help me. Oh, Holy Spirit, speak your word today so that we can give this power-packed truth in a short message here. So Galatians, Paul comes to the Galatians and he's agitated. And he says, hey, you guys began with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. What you saw, the power of God, did you see it because you were trying to follow the law, trying to obey precepts? Or did you see it because you had faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished? Did the Spirit work among you because you followed the precepts? Or did the Spirit work among you because you believed in what Jesus had accomplished? And Paul is agitated with them, and there's not a single book in the Bible where Paul is more forthright, where he's more clear about how agitated he gets and how agitated it made him when people turned to the weak and beggarly and miserable principles of the law rather than, now here's what we're going to get to in just a second, rather than the life of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because these two things are radically different. So Paul rebukes them for turning to principles. What is the law? If I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do that, then God will bless me. So we get our list of what to do so that God will bless us. And these Judaizers came in who did not understand the life in Christ, who didn't understand the spirit of life that is in Christ. And they tried to bring the Galatians back into what Paul called captivity. Now, is it captivity to live righteously? No, Paul was not teaching that at all. As a matter of fact, thank God, this is one of the most balanced and wonderful teachings of the true gospel that there is in the entire Bible. So he's dealing with these Judaizers. He said they're coming among you and they're trying to take your liberty away. They're trying to bring you back into captivity, back into trying to follow principles and trying to follow rules, thinking that if you do these things, God will bless you. And they're not leading you to walk after the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. So after he rebukes them, he goes on to say, he says that, let me look this up. He said, I say, look in chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, but I say, very important, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And then he begins to list what is the works of the flesh. And if you'll study these Greek words and break them down, I think a lot of modern Christians love the Greek or love the old-fashioned word because it doesn't really fit. It doesn't apply to them. They don't understand what the word means. It does apply to them. But those old words like lasciviousness or, you know, just impurity or whatever. But if you look up these words, for example, fornication, it means porneia. In this list of things of the flesh, he has porneia, porn. He's got pharmakia, doing drugs. He's got some of these things we understand very clearly. He's got outburst of wrath. What is that? Losing our temper, you know? He's got uncleanness. If you really break those things down, you'll see cursing, unclean language, put off all anger and unclean language, he teaches. And he's got emulation and strife. In our modern time, it would be don't get caught up in divisive arguments with people, politics. Man, all that stuff is there. All of those things, the works of the flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. He's saying walk in the Spirit. And then he says those who live in the flesh, those who walk after the flesh, they will not inherit the kingdom. Now, this is in Galatians. This is after he rebukes the Galatians for trying to follow rules and principles. And then he turns around and tells them, now, if you're walking in the flesh and porn and drugs and anger and wrath and arguments and emulation, he said, man, if you're living like that, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So is Paul contradicting himself? No, because Paul never taught that if you will not look at porn, if you don't do drugs, if you don't do this, you'll make it into the... He did not say that. What he did say is walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. See, here's the difference. Because he also said about the Judaizers, he said that they're trying to get you back into the flesh. Do you know that it is walking in the flesh when you try to obey a rule or a principle so that you will be blessed? That is actually walking in the flesh. My God, we need a deep understanding from the Spirit of God what it means to walk in the natural man, what it means to walk in the flesh. It is flesh whenever we're looking at pornography, when we're doing drugs, when we're arguing over politics. It's also the flesh when we're trying to follow a principle or a rule so that we will be blessed and not understanding the difference between the law and the Spirit. This is what Paul was always contrasting, even in Romans. And the natural man tries to take advantage of all these scriptures so he can continue to walk in the flesh. It's unbelievable, man, when you really begin to understand the word, how wicked we are. How wicked. I mean, we are evil to our last cell. We are evil. And we will use the things, the beautiful, wonderful things of the Spirit, will twist them to our own destruction and use them for freedom for the flesh. In the book of Romans, he's teaching that no one could produce righteousness through the law. So God came and crucified the natural life of man. He crucified the life of Adam, and he's given us the life of Christ so that we can walk in true righteousness. And then in Galatians, he rebukes them for trying to follow principles and rules and circumcision and all these things, trying to be blessed rather than walking in the Spirit of life. And he tells us in Galatians 5, if we'll walk in the Spirit of life, what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Not the fruit of a person following principles, not the fruit of a religious person, not the fruit of a disciplined person. It's the fruit of the Spirit. There's a big S right there in every version that I know of. It should be a big S. If it's not, it's not a good version. Because he's not talking about the fruit of a spiritual person. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. What's he talking about? If you're walking in the Spirit, friend, you do not need a list of do's and don'ts. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to be walking in love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And you do not need, you don't need any law. There's no law against those things. If we're really walking in the Spirit, we will be fulfilling the true law and the true righteousness of God. If we're walking in the flesh, we're going to be looking at pornography. We're going to be lusting on the inside. We're going to be doing all these kinds of things. We're going to be arguing with people and having outbursts of anger. We're going to be using foul language. We're going to be doing all kinds of things that are ungodly. And God said, and Paul said, I tell you, as I've told you before, this was not the first time Paul taught them, if you walk in the flesh, you're not going to inherit the kingdom. This is what Paul constantly taught. He didn't go into any church and say, don't follow the law. Amen. We're all free. Praise the Lord. If you sin, just confess I'm the righteous of God and the Lord's already taken care of it. He never did that. Everywhere he went, he warned people, if you walk in the flesh, you won't inherit the kingdom. If you're doing these things, then you're walking in the flesh and you're not going to inherit the kingdom. Those that live like that, those that have those things in their lives, they are not kingdom inheritors. It's scary, friend, but it's the truth. And my God, may God keep us from deception so that the devil doesn't trick us. The road to destruction is wide. So when Paul comes and he rebukes them for submitting back to rules, you know, the Holy Spirit showed me that almost all of us are doing this today. We don't have the Jews coming into our church telling us we got to not work on Saturday and making sure all of our men have been circumcised. You know, that, no, but we have the same flesh, the same flesh. When Jesus came, he attacked the law followers by saying, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. This is what law followers say. Don't commit adultery. Law followers tell you what to do so that you will be blessed. They tell you what to do so that you'll have God's favor. They come and they say, hey, don't commit adultery. But Jesus comes and he says, you've heard these law followers tell you that, but I tell you, I take it much further. If you have looked at a woman lustfully in your heart, you are an adulterer in your heart. And what Jesus was doing was showing us that every single human being is an adulterer. Every single human being is a murderer. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit murder, but I tell you, the life of God tells you, amen. The law follower tells you what to do specifically so that you'll be blessed. But Jesus comes and says, that is never going to be enough. If your righteousness does not far exceed that of the law follower, if your righteousness does not far exceed that of the rule giver, if it doesn't go way beyond what they believe, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so those who say, if you'll do this, you'll be blessed. You know where I see this in our churches today. I don't have time to get real deep into it. But many, many people today, especially preachers, they push tithing. But if you really know the preacher, they're not really, most of them are not really walking in this. And I say most of them, I'm serious, man. I used to go to conferences with 150 pastors as in fellowship with them because I was part of the pastors in the Assemblies of God. And I've ministered to many pastors. And most pastors, they're really not spiritual people. They're trying to do what God said to do so that they'd be blessed. And so you come into church and they say, pay your tithe and so that you'll be blessed. If you don't pay your tithe, you'll be cursed. You need to pay your tithe so you'll be blessed. But I tell you, friend, if you pay your tithe so that God will bless your life, it is full of iniquity and self-centeredness. It is not the true kingdom of God. This is what Jesus would show us. That's why in the New Covenant, Paul never preached tithing to the churches. What he preached is give up your life. We see it in the book of Acts. They gave up everything. They weren't paying 10% so that they could be blessed. You see, the law follower always gives you a principle. If you'll do this, you'll be blessed. But they do not tell you to give up your life and walk in the Spirit. They don't tell you to walk in the power of His life. They don't tell you to turn away from yourself because you can never be good enough. You can never do good enough. There's not a rule to follow. And if you did follow a rule, you would still be far from the true righteousness of the kingdom of God. So this still exists. This still exists to walk in the flesh, to try to do what God said to do, so we'll be blessed, rather than truly walk. This is why even the preacher who says, make sure you pay your 10% so you'll be blessed, is at home looking at pornography. Most people don't know it, but they're at home looking at pornography. They're bringing all kinds of filth into their marriage bed. They're constantly downloading filth into themselves, watching the things the world watches. Listen to the things the world listens to. They're covetous. They want money. When Jesus said you can't serve two masters, the Pharisees were standing there, and the Bible said, this is exactly what it said. It said the Pharisees were standing there who loved money. Who loved wealth. They were standing there and they heard Jesus say, you can't serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other one. You can't serve God and wealth. You can't. And the Bible said the Pharisees were standing there who loved wealth, who loved personal gain. And they began to mock what Jesus was saying. And Jesus said, you guys justify yourselves before people. But I tell you, what men hold as valuable, God sees as disgusting. If you look that up, man, God challenged me with these things because I didn't realize how much of the flesh I was walking in, even as a preacher. God challenged me with these things. He said, which one do you hate? Do you hate God or do you hate money? And I said, oh my goodness. I said, neither one. He said, exactly. He said, well, no, he didn't say exactly. He said, that's the problem. That's the problem is that you think that you don't hate either one. But Jesus said, you will hate one and you will love the other one. There's no area, a gray area. He said, you will despise one and you will cling to the other one. So if you love worldly wealth, if you love personal gain, if you're looking for God to add to you in this world, if that's what you're after, if that's what your heart desires, then you hate God. You despise God. That's what Jesus said. And you've got the religious people standing there who paid their tithes all the time because they wanted to be blessed and they loved wealth and they loved self-gain and they mocked him and they made sarcastic comments about the things he was saying because they knew that everybody wants wealth. Everybody wants personal gain. That's the problem, friend. That's the problem is that we are wicked. When we begin to walk after the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, then gaining for ourselves becomes much, much, much less important until it's not even a thought. As long as we have food, as long as we have clothing, we'll be content if we're truly walking in the Spirit. And when we have extra, friend, we will give and help any genuine believer who's submitted to God. That's very important. We understand that. It's not just giving money. You know, oh man, the Lord showed me something so powerful here. I was praying and seeking the Lord this morning. The idea of obeying God so that we'll be blessed has actually kept us from doing what is truly righteous. Let me give you an example. When I went to Brazil many times, it was shocking to me that the most spiritual people, the people that really fasted and prayed, the powerful prophets, they were very poor, and almost nobody helped them. People would give them vegetables, but almost nobody helped them. And then the ones who were business-minded, who wanted prosperity, who wanted to gain for themselves and live good lives and have good stuff, they were the preachers that were building the churches and telling everybody to give their tithe and everybody to give their offering. And all the people were giving into these so-called churches. They were taking their money and giving them into these so-called churches to support these people who want to build things for themselves. And all the while, the true ministers who were preaching the Word of God, the true ministers who were fasting and praying and truly prophesying what God was saying, they were neglected. Nobody was giving to them. They didn't have anything left over. Why? Because they were giving. And it is such a clear picture of how the flesh robs us of the true kingdom of God. Even in the Old Covenant, tithing was to feed the priest. It was to feed the ministers. It was the 10% of the crops. Those who had crops, those who had harvest, would bring 10% to the temple to feed the priest, and the priest would distribute it among the poor. It was to help the poor and to feed the ministers. And now you've got prophets in Brazil who they're barely surviving. You've got prophets all over the world who are barely surviving because the Christians have been so manipulated that they're taking their finances, and instead of doing what's righteous and helping true believers and feeding true prophets and feeding people who are really speaking the word, they've been manipulated, and they think that I gave my 10% and now I've done what God wanted me to do and now I'm going to be blessed. It's all a lie. It's all manipulation. I tithe. I don't even like getting into this, and this is one of the first times I've done it in one of these devotions this strongly. I tithe. I still tithe. We tithe every week. We go to church. We tithe on what we make. But I do not do it because I believe if I give 10% of my income that God's going to add to me. I don't do that. One of the reasons I do it is because of what other people think. I would much rather give 10%. I'd give 20. I'd give 30. If people thought that if you don't do this, you're not obeying God, you're not walking, then I don't want anybody to stumble. But one of the other reasons I do it is because I really want to support the ministry. I won't stay somewhere long and give them my money if I see that these people are not genuinely pursuing God, that they're not really getting in the Word and really seeking Him and fasting and praying and preaching the Word of God. I won't stay there long. Why? Because I'm not going to support that, friend. There's no way I'm going to take what God gives me and give it into covetousness and give it into building something that God never called us to build and give it into people who are walking in the flesh and telling people, if you'll follow these principles, God will add to you, God will add to you, God will add to you, and stirring up covetousness in people, not telling people to walk in the Spirit and walk after the Spirit. So for time's sake, let me get back to the Holy Ghost, help me. So anyway, I tithe. I believe, in principles. I like principles. But friend, I do not give 10% of my money so that I'll be blessed. Amen. That is not it. As a matter of fact, I don't even like the 10% idea anymore at all. That was to expose our covetousness. It was to show us what's wrong with us. The Pharisee, they tithe, but they neglect the weightier matters of the law. They tithe, but they neglect. Why? Because every law follower does the principle, but they all neglect the weightier matters of the law. They're not really walking after the spirit of life that is in Christ. That's why there's no power. That's why there's no healing of the sick and casting out devils. Why? Because we're walking in the flesh. And what's amazing is those people who walk in the flesh by following principles, they're also the same people who are covetous on the inside, who are adulterers on the inside, who are murderers on the inside. If you really get to know the rule follower, if you really get to know most pastors who are pushing tithing, the reason they're pushing that is because they want the money. They want the church to get to a place where it can support them and they can live good, high on the hog, basically. They can live well without having to work, without having to strive and go do the things other people do. And so they're looking for financial freedom. And if you go, listen, almost every pastor of every big church has a massive home. I mean, some of them have acres and acres and acres of land with all kinds of buildings. I've known them, even the ones in the revival at Brownsville. They used all that income to build these massive plantations with these million-dollar homes and horses and cows and all kinds of stuff. And they think, hey, we're the seed of Abraham. My God, it's so contrary to the true scriptures of God. And many of these men of God, I believe they're sincere, but they've been deceived. They're thinking wrongly, and it costs them so much. They end up suffering. They end up going through great pain and misery and fire. They end up getting busted looking at some garbage or doing things that are ungodly, and they find out. I mean, one of our local pastors recently, he got busted for child pornography, and now he's in jail. And there's so many things that people do that nobody knows about. The thoughts that people have. That's why Jesus came and he said, you've heard it said. You've got all these people standing around telling you what to do so you'll be blessed. But they don't understand the true kingdom of God. The true kingdom of God is not doing this one thing so that God will bless you. The true kingdom of God is giving up your own life and walking in the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. So in Galatians, where he rebukes more than any other place, where he rebukes people for going back to the weak and beggarly principles of the law, going back to trying to follow principles so you'll be blessed, when he just tears into them, who has bewitched you? What does it mean to be bewitched? It means that it's demonic delusion. Who has demonically deluded? Who has brought demonic delusion into your life where you feel like, even though you walk in the flesh, that if I obey this principle, if I do this, God's going to add to me, and pulls you out of the giving up of your life, pulls you out of the walking truly in the spirit of life. It actually pulls you out of it, and you start living by these principles, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that so that God will bless me. And friend, when God opens your eyes to it, it will absolutely rock your world. The Lord asked me one day, and I pushed tithing. Why? Because I had a decent sized church and I wanted to pay the bills. And not only did I want to pay the bills, but I wanted to build bigger. And I loved my salary, man. I loved my salary. And when my salary was threatened, I didn't even realize it sometimes. When I saw my salary threatened, I would start emphasizing more tithing. You know, I would start emphasizing, and I would say, I'm doing it for their sake. I'm doing it for theirs. But friend, my God, just hang around people who teach that. Just hang around them for a while. Get to know them personally. They're not doing it for your sake. They're doing it for their sake. They want their church to grow. They want to have success. Friend, if you're gone tomorrow, they won't even think about you in a week or two. They won't even remember you in a few months. They'll be trying to get somebody else to give them their money. So why? Because they're not out to truly bless you. They're out to prosper themselves and to prosper their church and to make their church bigger and to make their church successful. Friend, this is not the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. There were no house churches in the book of Acts trying to get people's money so that their church could grow. So it is so far from the kingdom of God. Everybody in the book of Acts, they were giving up their stuff and helping the other people. When they brought their money and laid it at the apostles' feet, the apostles distributed it to everybody who had need among them. This was a radically different concept than what we're doing today, building our little kingdoms, our little denominational places, building our churches, and trying to be great, and trying to get to a place where we can write a book and everybody will buy it so we can be a millionaire and tell everybody they can live an effortless life, and as long as they give their finances, you know, they sow their seed, you know, God will make them rich and God will put them on the top. And friend, it is absolute wickedness. And then my goodness, it is total impure wickedness. And so Paul comes and says, who got you back in the flesh? Who got you back to following these principles so you think you'll be blessed? That's what the law is. The law says he who does these things will live. He who does these things will be blessed. So if you'll do this, you'll be blessed. If you'll do that, you'll be blessed. If you don't commit adultery, you'll be blessed. But I tell you, friend, if you don't commit adultery, you may be blessed as a man in some areas. But if you are an adulterer in your heart, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, even if you don't do it on the outside. And so he's teaching here the difference of walking in the natural man who thinks that if I do what God tells me to do, I'll be blessed, and walking in the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. And that life fulfills the true purpose of the law in every single way. So when you study Galatians, if you just read the first half, a lot of preachers have taken that out of context, and they're teaching that we are not under any obligation anymore to not be fleshly. We're not under any obligation not to look at pornography, not to take drugs, not to fight and strive about politics, not to do all these kinds of things, not to have filthy and foul language, not to do all these things. No, we're not under any obligation anymore. We're not under the law. But that's not what Paul was teaching at all, at all. And he turns around in Galatians after rebuking them, harshly rebuking, who bewitched you? Who has brought you under the delusion that if you'll follow these principles, you're going to be blessed? How in the world did you begin with the spirit of life, the power of God, the truth of his righteousness, and then go back to, if we do these things, we'll be blessed? And then he rebukes him and said, no, it's about walking in the spirit. God came to set us free. It's bondage to, for the flesh, it is bondage, for sure. It is bondage to try to follow principles so that you will be blessed. He said, who brought you back under this bondage? If you're circumcised, if you pay your tithe, if you don't commit adultery, if you don't steal, if you don't do these things, then you'll be blessed and God will give you life. Paul calls that bondage. And then he turns right around and says, but don't use your freedom in the spirit for the flesh. Don't use your freedom for the flesh. If you do, if you think God has set you free so that you can keep walking in the flesh and not be condemned, as many people are teaching, that's totally false. If you think God sets you free so you can continue to live like that and you won't be condemned, you've been deceived. Don't use your freedom for the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. If you don't walk in the Spirit, then his life is not going to be flowing through you. And friend, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So here's the double-edged sword. The double-edged sword is, if you try to follow principles to be blessed and to live, you're going to die. And the other edge of that sword is, if you don't follow any principles and you just walk in the flesh and just do what you want to do thinking that you're free, you're going to die. So there's only one way to live. Jesus is the way. Not believing in Jesus as a person, but his life is the way. Walking in the life of Jesus is the only narrow way. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And you can't walk in the life of Jesus as long as you love your own life. And there's nobody that loves their lives more than law followers. There's nobody that loves their life more than tithe pushers. Amen. I don't know why I got into that today, friend, but I love giving to the kingdom of God. I really sincerely love giving to the kingdom of God. Even when I didn't really understand the truth, I love giving to the kingdom, but a lot of it was polluted. God showed me it was polluted. I remember when my pastor started praying over us, the tither's blessing. Little did I know the reason he came up with that whole thing is because the church didn't have enough finances. They wanted to build more stuff. And so he started preaching the tither's blessing every week. The tither's blessing. If you give tither, you're going to be blessed. He's going to make entrepreneurs and money's going to come in the mail. And man, I started getting stirred up. I thought it was a spirit. It was covetousness is what it was. So my wife and I was like, amen. So we opened a business. Man, it cost us so much pain and so much misery. But at the same time, we decided we're going to give 50% of everything. And we did. We helped missionaries. We gave 50%. And I thought we were really doing something. And buddy, we were going to be rich now because we gave a ton. One year we gave, we gave $60,000 one year. $60,000. I thought, man, $60,000. We got a 100-fold blessing coming. That's $600,000 or whatever it is. That's $6 million. I don't even know. That's a lot of money. I had to do the math. I ain't got time to do it right now. But I'm thinking, man, we're going to really be blessed. Our business never took off. I mean, it was work. It was hard work. It was struggle. It was pain. We had all kinds of trials, and that's exactly what the will of God is, because those trials pushed us into the presence of God, and those trials delivered us from trying to get rich. Those trials delivered us from the things that were not actually of God, but we gave 50% of it. Part of our heart wanted to help missions, but the other part of it was looking for our own prosperity, and that's what God had to deliver us from, and that business ended up failing eventually. I mean, we didn't go bankrupt, but it never did get us rich. As a matter of fact, so many times we were tempted to compromise. We were selling flip-flops, and we had companies call us. The Grateful Dead contacted us and wanted us to do their flip-flops, and God said no. My natural man was like, why not? You know, Coors, I think, is either Coors or Michelob, one of those, the main corporate company contacted us and wanted us to do their flip-flops. We had a company called Raw. They turned in one order that was $60,000. One order, 60 grand. But they wanted all these death symbols on their shoes. And man, we were so convicted. We did one order, and I made them change some of their designs, and they did it. They changed some of their designs. I said, we can't do that. We're a Christian organization. And they actually changed some of their designs. But then the second order they turned in was twice as much money. And they were dark, and they went back to the darkness and the death, and we had to turn it down. And I'm not saying we were righteous because of what we did, but the Holy Spirit inside of us, we knew we couldn't do that. You'll be shocked at the compromises that Christians make when they're trying to get rich. You'll be shocked at how they take advantage of people. I am shocked at some pastors I've hung out with, how often they take advantage of people. And they don't feel any conviction about it whatsoever. Why? Because it's all part of their goal to get rich. As a matter of fact, they'll tell you that these are the heathen. You know, these people don't believe. They've stored up the wealth for me. And they're actually taking those beautiful, wonderful words about those who are pursuing wealth will one day lose it all, and God is going to give it to us. The meek will inherit the earth. And they take those beautiful scriptures out of context, and they actually take advantage, and they steal is what they're doing. They're taking advantage of other people and using the scriptures to do it, to be wicked, to take advantage of people because of their covetousness. It is absolutely, my friend, may God open our eyes. In these last days, it is so dark that even if possible, even the elect will be deceived. There's so much falsehood mixed in with the true gospel that people are actually living in covetousness, living in adultery on the inside, downloading filth into themselves all the time. Many pastors want you to pay the tithe so they can keep paying all their streaming services, so they can keep downloading filth 24/7 into themselves and into their families, and they look good on the outside. As a matter of fact, their kids have to behave a certain way in public because they want everybody to believe that they're good. And man, it's tough to be a kid in a pastor's family because of all this hypocrisy and all of this show and all of this having to put on this display of we are the good ones and we're leading other people to be good. And so we have to demonstrate this. And man, it's all God. May He open our eyes to the truth. If we're not giving up our life, if we're not hating our own life, if we're not preaching the cross, if the cross of Jesus Christ is not at the center of everything we're believing, everything we're doing, if our death and our burial and our walking in the newness of life that is not covetous, that's not looking for financial gain, that's not looking for God to add to us, it's not competitive, it doesn't take advantage of anybody, it gives up itself, it always puts others before itself. Oh my goodness. If we're not doing that, if we're not walking in the spirit of life that is in Christ, it's because the devil's lied to us. He's deceived us. He's got us walking in the flesh, whether it be in the religious flesh or whether it be in the carnal flesh. It's still the flesh. It's still the flesh, whether it be in bondage to if you do this and you do this and you do this, God will bless you, or whether it be in we're free, we're not under any law, and we're watching pornography, we're looking at all kind of filth, we're watching all kinds of things the world loves. We love it. We love the same things the world loves. Why? The flesh is the flesh. Everybody's flesh is the same, whether you're a Christian in the flesh or you're a heathen in the flesh. We all like the same things. And so we watch the same things when nobody's looking. You know, we are entertained by the same thing. It's unbelievable how much deception the devil's gotten. Your only solution is to get in the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. He's not just the book. He's real. He's the life of God. But the book is His words. So get into the Word, meditate on it, stay in His presence, and find out what the true kingdom of God is. If you're seeking what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, if you're seeking financial prosperity and financial gain, friend, you are not seeking the kingdom. He said, do not take a single thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, how you're going to live. Do not take a single thought for these things. For this is what the heathen are going after. This is what the lost are seeking. Rather, seek first the kingdom of God, the true kingdom of God, and His righteousness. And then He will add these things to you. He didn't say He's going to make you rich. He said He's going to give you food. He's going to give you drink. And He's going to give you clothing. He's going to take care of you. And if you really read what Paul said, there are times you're going to not even have that if you're really pursuing God. But it doesn't mean you're going to starve to death. It means you're going to have to trust Him. There'll be times where there's lack because the world will ostracize you. If you're really walking in the Spirit, there's going to come a time where you can't even get a job. Because if you just talk about the life of Jesus at work, they'll fire you. They're firing people all over the place for standing for Donald Trump. What do you think they're going to do if you stand for Jesus Christ? If you really stand for Donald Trump's not righteousness. God bless him, but he's not the kingdom of God, but he's representing that in a way. In a way, he's representing doing right and really trying to do what's pure. I'm not saying that that's what he does, but he represents that. He represents the church and he represents the conservative idea. And so they're coming against that. What do you think they're going to do to somebody who's really walking in life, who really turns away from lust, who really believes that any kind of lustfulness that we're giving into, much less homosexuality, much less gender confusion. Friend, there's coming a time if you don't agree with the gender fluidity, that you will be fired. You'll be fired from your job. They're firing people all over the place just for being conservatives. What do you think they're going to do whenever you're really representing Jesus and you go into work smiling and praising the Lord and talking about the righteousness of the kingdom of God and turning away from the flesh? Friend, there'll be a time soon where Christians can't even get a job. And they'll be sitting at home talking about, I paid my tithe, though, Lord. Why ain't I rich? Where they're suffering and they lose their home. They can't even pay the mortgage because they have this big old home. And now they've lost their job, and how are they going to pay for it? Listen, God never promised us a big old home. What He promised us is food and clothing. What He promised us is to take care of our basic needs. If we have that, we should be content. And if we really go after God, we're going to be ostracized, rejected. We'll lose things. It doesn't mean there's never any time where God doesn't bless a Christian's godly business. But friend, don't get the idea that if I'm godly, I'm going to gain. That is satanic. The Bible addresses that very specifically. As a matter of fact, if you're godly, there may be a season of gain, but there will always come time. Like, for example, I'll just give a quick example, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, they're trying to do what God wants them to do. Now they're backing off on a lot of things they did. They're not supporting anymore. They're not giving any money to Franklin Graham or any other organization who preaches against homosexuality. They've started to back off of those things. Why? Because the world threatened to shut them down. The world threatened to shut them down. There will come a time where every business, every person of God will have to compromise or they won't survive. It's coming. There will come a time. And in those times, we'll have to decide, is it the wealth that we want? Is it the success that we want? Or is it truly the kingdom of God? Are we really willing to give up everything that we have? Are we really willing to lose what men hold as valuable? Jesus said, you cannot serve both of them. You will hate one and you will love the other. And those who loved the things of the world stood there and ridiculed and mocked. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, you guys justify yourselves before people. But what men hold as valuable, God sees as absolutely disgusting. Jesus wouldn't even touch money. He gave the money bag to Judas Iscariot. He used it. Their ministry used it. But he never, ever, never, you'll never find Jesus one time seeking money. As a matter of fact, every time he talked about it with disdain. You'll never find him seeking. He called it filthy. filthy lucre. He never sought it. He never pursued it. He never wanted it. He never preached how you can gain it. Never did he do that, ever. And the scriptures that people take out of context to act like he did, it's, oh my God, they're bringing judgment upon themselves. Major judgments coming upon those who manipulate God's word to make it about making money, to make it about making wealth, and to make it about you having success in this world and favor in this world. Read the Bible, friend. If you follow Jesus, you're going to lose the things of the world, not gain them. And it may not be immediate, but friend, it's coming. And if there's any covetousness in you with the things that you're doing, you will eventually compromise or you will lose it all. And then you'll find out what kingdom you're really of. May God in Jesus' name open our eyes and deliver us from darkness and get us truly to meditate on the word until we fully grasp what it really means and walk in the truth of it. Galatians, he rebukes them for walking in the flesh and going back to the principles of doing to be blessed, following the law, doing what God said to do so that you can have the things of this world. He rebukes them. And then he also says, listen, don't use our liberty in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus to walk in the flesh, to look at pornography, to be a lustful person, to be an argumentative person, to be a person who has outbursts of rage, a person with emulation and strife who wants to fight other people and prove that it's right. Don't be that kind of person. Don't be the kind of person who uses pharmakia, witchcraft, you're using drugs. You know, don't be that kind of person. Don't be a drunkard. Don't be a reveler. Don't be one who's always wanting to party and eat and drink and be merry. If you walk in the flesh, friend, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But he's not saying if you don't do those things, you will inherit the kingdom. He never said that. He said if you walk in the spirit of life, these are the ones who inherit the kingdom. The spirit of life, love and joy. That's his. Not, he didn't say if you love people, if you walk in joy. No. If you walk in the spirit, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit will flow. Those are the inheritors of the kingdom of God. They're not after anything for themselves. They're pursuing the true kingdom of God, the true righteousness of God, and trusting that God will take care of them even if they suffer. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, Paul said. Nothing can separate us. Tribulation, you know, distress, persecution. He said nakedness, famine, peril, and sword. He was talking about in Romans. He's not talking about our sins. He's not talking about we can watch pornography and it won't separate us from God's love. No, he's saying that when we suffer for truly pursuing the true kingdom, the true righteousness of God, when we suffer, it will not separate us from the love of God. If they cut our head off, friend, if we can't eat, if we can't buy clothes, if we go through nakedness, if we go through peril, if we go through famine, if they cut our head off with a sword, he said it's still not going to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, praise God. We're willing to give it all up. We're willing to really pursue the kingdom of God so that we can have the treasures that last forever, where moth and rust do not corrupt. My God. Ooh, I better quit. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to get in God's presence and stay there. My goodness. These days are the darkest days the world has ever lived in. It is the darkest time we've ever lived. And if you really study what the false prophets are ravening wolves. If you look up the word ravening right there, oh my goodness, it's very interesting. It's always translated as covetous elsewhere. It's always not covetous. What's the word for it? It's when somebody takes advantage of you to try to get your money. That word, I'll have to look it up again, but that word is in the Bible five times. Four times it is that word where somebody is trying to manipulate you to get your money. They're trying to use fear to get you to give them your money. You're going to be cursed if you don't do it. And then the only other time it's translated differently is when Jesus calls ravening wolves. The word ravening, it's those who try to use fear to get money out of you. He said this is what false prophets are. They dress in sheep's clothing, but on the inside, they are a ravening wolf. They will use any means necessary to get you to give them your money, because what they really want is success. What they really want is to be on top, and they're using every avenue of their life to try to obtain it, even their religion. And it's so deceptive that the nicest and the best people can get caught up in it and not realize they're doing it. Many of them until it's too late. Many of them, even God shows many of them, and then they know it's true, and then they reject it. And those are going to be the worst off. They're going to burn in hell. They're not just going to go through troubles. They're going to burn in hell. If God has told them the truth, and they knew it was true, and they chose to turn away from what is true and to keep walking in covetousness, friend, if they do not repent, if the fire is not enough, if the suffering is not enough here to get them to turn away from that lie, then they will burn in hell forever. God help us in Jesus' name. May He deliver us from the deception in the world today. In the marvelous name of Jesus, God bless you.